Curiosity and creativity bring ideas that then lead to solutions to create something that this world needs. That's how I see it. For me, it's all connected.
Welcome to the Curious Advantage podcast, an exploration of the idea of curiosity and its increasing importance for thriving in the digital age from the authors of The Curious Advantage.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Curious Advantage podcast. This series is about how individuals and organizations use the power of curiosity to drive success in their lives and businesses, especially in the context of our new digital reality. It brings to life the latest understanding from neuroscience, anthropology, history, business, and behaviorism about curiosity and makes these useful for everyone. My name is Simon Brown. I'm one of the co-authors of the book, The Curious Advantage, and Chief Learning Officer at Novartis. And today I'm here with my co-authors, Garrick Jones.
Hi, everybody.
And Paul Ashcroft.
Hello.
And we're delighted to be joined by Daniela Proust, Head of Global People Enablement and Growth at Siemens. Daniela is a highly experienced global strategy and learning and development leader. Before joining Siemens, she worked with Deutsche Telekom and PricewaterhouseCoopers, and she's a demonstrated record of designing and implementing successful transformations and organizational development strategies, which I think we'll hear more about shortly. She's described as an inspirational and effective team leader with experience in multinational matrixed organizations, and she has a focus on leading global virtual teams. She's passionate about innovation and technologies that contribute to sustainable development of societies. As well as a master's in business and engineering, Daniela has also got a postgrad certificate from Cambridge University in the UK. Welcome to the Curious Advantage podcast, Daniela.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be with you.
It's great to have you. So let's start maybe with understanding a bit more about your background and also your current role. So maybe could you take us through your career journey and how did you come to be running learning for Siemens? I think it's 300,000 employees globally.
Yes, almost. And I hope I'll try not to make it too boring because sometimes CVs can sound like, you know, you take everyone through from one year to the next. So when I think about my own career journey, it's actually what we are also trying to drive at Siemens, that we consider careers more like an option room. So when I think of my own journey, it's really an option room. I started off as an entrepreneur when I was 20. I was running restaurants in parallel to study macroeconomics at that time. Mm-hmm. And I must say that gave me so many experiences from, you know, setting up a business, learning how to run it, hiring people, negotiating contracts, even cooking. If you run restaurants, sometimes you have to jump in and you have to take care of the guests. For the cooking part, my family loves me a lot in the meantime, I must say.
Good life skill to have.
Yeah, actually, yes. And yeah, so that was the starting point. And at some point I felt, ooh, this is so interesting, but it's quite stuck early on. So I thought, there's so much more to explore. I should try something else. Then I moved into sales, key account management, more small, medium-sized companies than to bigger ones like Telecom, worked more in larger transformation projects of the whole company of, for instance, Telecom Real Estate. It's a daughter company of the Deutsche Telekom. And then again, came to a point that I thought, oh, something more to explore here. And I thought, joining consultancy is nice. You can learn so much across industries about different companies and also vertically get experience across so many different facets. So I joined PricewaterhouseCoopers, which really helped me a lot gain international experience and draw big picture analysis. So to then cut it short, at some point I joined Siemens. And I have been with Siemens now since 2008, so quite a while. And also that has been quite an amazing journey from working with sustainability, corporate strategy, with external NGOs, with UN agencies, and very closely with the businesses on driving their own strategy priorities forward. And now I'm in the people space.
Amazing.
So now I'm taking care of learning and development at Siemens.
You know, what's fascinating, Daniela, is you talk about your background in Siemens, which I really want to get into in a moment. But before that, you talk about having run restaurants and even doing food and so on. And I'm curious to know, What do you think was the most important thing you learned from running restaurant that you brought through into the rest of your career?
It's a good question. I think flexibility, because what people often underestimate is how complex it is to run a restaurant, that there are so many things that you have to manage in parallel and that you have to constantly adapt to situational things. You know, something is happening, all of a sudden a big group is coming in or a cook is not coming up or whatever. So it's really this being able to juggle and be flexible about the challenges that come your way.
That's fantastic. We had another guest on the podcast, Jennifer Higgy, who also talked about how much she'd learned from, she's in the art world, and she was talking about how much she'd learned from being in a restaurant. And one of her principles was never return to the kitchen empty-handed.
That's a smart one, yeah.
I also like, we had Scott Pelton on recently, and he was a firefighter for many years. And there's actually a lot of parallels there between firefighting and working in a corporate environment as well. So it's interesting that a restaurant also provides as many linkages.
It does. And I think one thing I learned was also not to always seek for recipes. Because I remember I had a very creative chef cook, and he was so gifted, you know, he could just start cooking something and then he was just tasting it and saying, oh, there's still something missing. And then he knew what to add. And I dared that and tried to really explore that throughout my life.
Just bringing a little bit of your own experience into things is sometimes what makes all the difference. Daniela, just to talk a bit about Siemens as a business, and you talk about, bringing together all kinds of different experiences into your career. Siemens is an organization, an amazing technology organization that is in so many different parts of our society. Could you tell us a little bit about what Siemens is really focused on at the moment? Particularly, like, what are you most curious about as an organization?
So to me, Siemens is a really exciting and very interesting company, because we are present in so many areas of businesses that people might not even be aware of, but that are fundamental to societies. So, for instance, one big area of our business is mobility. So if you ever ran with the ICE train that's coming from Siemens, if you joined certain metro stations that drive driverless, that's coming from Siemens. If you then take the train along the big tracks and you have the signaling technologies, that's also coming from Siemens. So it's really creating, let's say, mobility of the future, one big part of the business. Another part is smart infrastructure, where it's all about how can infrastructure be more sustainable and be connected so that buildings and other infrastructures can work with each other and for each other. Another big area, the third big area, is digital industries, where we are in the driver's seat to transform how industries are run, how factories are automated and digitalized, so that, for instance, food and beverage can run in a factory and be completely filled automatically. So it's a quite big space, and a lot of people don't know where Siemens is in. It's often still known for fridges, for instance, that where we were active in and are still a shareholder in. But the core technologies are much more fundamental. They're really touching everybody's lives.
It's amazing. So what strikes me is when you talk about systems working with systems and networks working with systems and engineering, networks and networks. I mean, it's a huge conception. Well, I know you've been working on your learning strategy and your culture to drive the growth in this area. Can you share more about what you've been doing to enable your organization and your individuals to achieve this?
Yeah, so we as a company, we are always saying we connect the digital and the physical world through the products and solutions that we bring to our customers and to societies at large. And when I think about it for the people space, it's actually quite similar. We are bringing our people together. We connect all our employees, almost 300,000, as you mentioned, across the globe. We are active in almost all countries of this planet. So it's important to create a sense of identity, a sense of belonging, and also to really influence and ignite a passion for learning and curiosity amongst our people.
And maybe we didn't go deeply into your role now. So maybe can you go back to a little bit to what your role is and how you create that curiosity in those 300,000 people in every country in the world, which can't be an easy task.
I find it a super exciting task, to be honest. So yes, I'm in charge of people enablement and growth, which in other companies often is called learning and development. But we intentionally called it differently because it's for us really to create an enabling environment for our employees that they can own their career journeys and that they get all the instruments at hand that we accompany them as a company along their individual learning and career journeys. It's a big task, as you say. It's to reach all people with the right and meaningful instruments, with learning opportunities, and to provide them with all of these opportunities when they need it, at the moment of need, wherever they need it, on all the different areas that apply in a company's like in a company like ours. Because you know, you have to cover topics from technology to functional skills or competencies to cross-functional topics that everybody needs, like languages or communication, to market-specific topics that really apply for a certain country, to vertical industry knowledge. So it's the whole ecosystem of learning opportunities that we bring together for our people.
Yeah, and it really seems like you're thinking about how you bring those together to enable people. Is this related to, you had this lovely concept when you were talking about your career around option rooms. And could you tell us a bit more about what you mean by, what's an option room? And do you bring some of that into how you think about career development at Siemens there?
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Actually, that was the starting point. When I joined the people function, because as I mentioned, I have more a background in the, let's say, business-specific roles in sales and in business development, it was because I was asked to rethink or reimagine learning and development for Siemens. So we initiated a project that we at that time called Learning of the Future. And we did that because we saw significant paradigm shifts happening. One of them is careers are not linear anymore. They were to a certain extent at some point, and it still applies, but to very few audiences where that's still the case. So if that paradigm shift holds true, that careers are more option rooms and more things that people explore, they move left, right, from one function to the next, from one market to the other, also change businesses, then that means that they're individual journeys also require very different and very personalized learning opportunities. It's more like everybody has a backpack of skills and competencies, and it's completely different. Mine is different than yours, than Simon's. And therefore, what I then need in order to succeed in my role or the next one to come is highly individual. So this paradigm shift of personalization, individual, modular learning opportunities that you can pick and choose whenever you want was the starting point for a complete new approach that we have been developing and are still further developing. And we always talk about a learning ecosystem that we are building up, a world of opportunities.
It's fascinating that this ecosystem you're putting in place relates to another word you used earlier, which was enablement. And how does that play out in practice? How do you create an enabling environment within this ecosystem for everybody in your organization?
So technology has a significant role to play. I think a few years back, and I know Sam and I, we had a couple of conversations on that one. This was not thinkable of what technology can support. So when we laid out our strategy project 3 years ago, it was to reach more people, to learn more, not less, to have the whole scope of learning found for our employees through one single point of entry is still a big challenge. And then to basically scale up the reach and the continuous learning opportunities from maybe once a year a course to a continuous learning habit. And that is a significant cultural change as well for each individual, but also for the company as a whole.
Maybe that would be a great one to dig a little bit into, because that continuous learning habit is one certainly I've spent the last several years working to try to support how to do that. And it's really hard. And many conversations with many other organizations, and they also struggle with how to build that learning habit I personally, I see it as a mixture of, you know, content, but applicability to be able to bring it into your day-to-day, you know, elements around access you talked about of, you know, one way in to be able to find it, but then also wrestling with practicalities like time that I'm just, you know, so often here, you know, I'm too busy, I haven't got time for learning, which to me means that people aren't necessarily prioritizing it high enough, but that's a whole other conversation. But I'd love to hear how you helped create the enabling environment to create that learning habit. What were some of the things you did, maybe things that worked or things that didn't work that others could learn from?
So I can only mirror and echo what you're saying. And I think we are far from finished and it's a continuous journey. So when we embarked on developing a completely new approach to learning and development for Siemens, we also said we need to inspire our people and ignite a passion for learning. And ideally, without saying exactly that, but working through, you know, creating experiences that people really want to become part of, and also to work with a lot of positivity, to nudge them a bit. Here, there are new things, try them out. It doesn't hurt, actually, it's quite nice. And you can take something away. Because we, as a company, had a rather traditional learning culture a couple of years back. And so I really wanted to open up the space of what does learning mean, to really broaden the definition of it in general, from just classroom trainings to so many more things that you can use in terms of methods, but also be open to new experiences and realizing that all of that is part of learning.
Daniela, it's interesting how you talk about how you're putting together these very personalized and blended learning experiences. We're now hopefully starting to emerge from, you know, our series of lockdowns where it's been very difficult to do any of this type of work, and we've been dragged into a world of virtual learning. How has Siemens coped with maintaining an innovative and curious culture through these periods of lockdowns, and how have you sort of adapted some of the methods you've adopted working with the organization?
And may I add to that, has it had an impact in terms of how you are approaching work across the organization?
Oh, there are a lot of sub questions to that.
Yeah,
sorry.
Let me maybe bridge a bit to what Simon was asking before. So, because Simon knows about it also, we have developed a concept that is called My Growth. It is more a communication and experience concept where we bring together at one place all instruments and experiences for our people around learning and development opportunities. And we deliberately picked something that is very positive, and it really starts with you. That's why it's called My Growth. And My Growth has three major pillars from a conceptual point of view. One is that we give instruments at hand to help our people navigate their own learning and career journey, that they know what kind of instruments there are and that they can use some tools that help them to self-reflect. Who am I? What is important to me? Where am I in my career? Do I know about my strengths? Can I build on strength for myself, for my current role? What is it that gives me energy or takes energy from me? So what is then the next opportunity for me where I can truly grow and bring my whole self to work and therefore create a sense of belonging? That's the first pillar. The second one is about the whole universe of learning opportunities, which in our case is then coming to life through a learning platform called My Learning World, also My Learning World, which is a truly personalized experience. So once you get onto it, you are asked about what are you interested in. The system already knows, of course, your business and your geography and so on, and you get some matched learning recommendations, but the system gets better over time, and therefore the learning opportunities become much more tailored to you. The third pillar, then, in addition to the learning bit, is what we call My Growth Career, and that is instruments that help our people along their career journey to think about, if I am ready to move on, try something new, how can I, for instance, extend my network? We have implemented instruments like job shadowing, that you can just call someone and say, I find your role so interesting. Can I just be with you for a day and sneak peek into your world? That's one thing. Another element would be mentoring or coaching. And then we bring all of that together through a new way of performance management. We get rid of performance management processes of ratings and rankings. We really count on the dialogue between a manager and the employee, and to have a continuous dialogue and conversation to accompany the employee to really foster his or her personal development goals. So all of that is called My Growth, and all of that is a quite comprehensive concept that we bring to our people.
You're listening to the Curious Advantage podcast, inspired by the book The Curious Advantage, written by Paul Ashcroft, Simon Brown, and Garrick Jones. Subscribe to the podcast today.
I wanted to ask you, because earlier you mentioned about the thing you've noticed, that careers are no longer linear. You were talking about how people are moving around even within an organization, not just to different organizations, and changing roles. And we've actually heard this in other organizations, and it's perhaps been in response to the pandemic, where organizations have shifted people and resources and skills and knowledge to actually where they're needed in the business. How does the My Growth ecosystem that you've put in place and the platform you've put in place also support this type of these recommendations and understanding where the needs are in the business and then directing people to those skills and areas?
Of course, it's not an easy thing to do for 300,000 people all across the world. So what we can do is bring certain instruments to life that help our people to explore and experiment. So one experiment even that we are currently having is, we call it job tagging. So you can go in our organizational cosmos, which is like an organigram in a dynamic way in the internet. And I can say, oh, I find Simon's role really interesting. What does a chief learning officer do? And I can tag him and say, could I have a virtual coffee with you? I would really be interested about this particular area of our organization. And that is to break down silos. That is to connect people that normally would not meet because of their current role or function. It's really to create curiosity and interest in different functions, and then enables and sparks dialogue across different dimensions. That's just one example, and there are others. But I think it's those instruments that can help form a culture, but it cannot solve it all. So people still, of course, have to want to move and try out new things and wanting to move to a different area.
Maybe a related question. You talked about that as one of the experiments that you're running. I'm always really interested to hear what other experiments people are running as well, because I guess this is where the cutting edge of new things, where we're trying stuff out, and some of them will work, some of them won't work. But I'd love to know if there's any other ones that you could share of things you're testing out of new ideas or experiments.
Oh, we have a couple. So when I think of the learning ecosystem, because that's the one I have been crafting myself a lot, we see that it's ramping up really successfully and a lot. When I think about it, and I can maybe now come back to your previous question on COVID and the implications of lockdown, I cannot tell you how lucky and happy I am that we were ready without knowing that something like that would come. Because we had the strategy to set up a platform-based ecosystem, invest in technology, and ramp up all kinds of learning opportunities at scale for our people. But we had just started, and all of a sudden the lockdown came. So we had to ramp it up at really rapid speed, and we had to virtualize content. That's now subject matter expert talk, but to really make courses, you know, we had a learning portfolio of 2,500 learning courses, trainings, really long running programs. And all of a sudden you're faced with, they cannot happen. Those runs cannot take place. So what do we do all across the world? Modularize them, virtualize them. First step. Second step, in parallel, think about that you need different methods and way of bringing those learnings in a digital way to our people. So the first one was more a quick fix. The second one was more a complete redesign for different experiences in a virtual environment. And we had to do both, because a company like us, we cannot stand still. right? We need to be there and bring our people to the learning opportunities they need.
There's so much innovation in what you're talking about on so many levels, and talking about doing experiments ahead of the game, which managed to have some skills in place that allowed you to survive and move forward. And you were talking about the focus on designing experiences for the learning online and so on. But the one that you slipped through, which I really, really want to go back to, was you talked about getting rid of your performance management system, which is, okay, I mean, in some circles would be considered crazy, and in other circles, radical. How have you found it's worked, getting rid of your performance management system?
Yeah, it is quite a radical one. And I can share another radical one about leadership, the picture of a leader in a moment. In addition, we have, of course, like all companies, had a performance management system. So regular processes on an annual basis with target setting, then with feedback mechanisms, with ratings and comparing people. And we just felt that it never really worked because people and roles are not really comparable. And what's then helpful with the result that you try to get out of it? Particularly that people then feel, if you then balance out the overall curve, that it fits into a normal curve, then you are always part of a pile of good.
Yeah.
And just very few can stand out, even though you might be doing super well in your role.
Yeah.
And that's not helpful. It's not motivating. And then as a second step, the discussion always comes, so how does this now link to salary, to compensation and benefits and so on? And we wanted to completely detach those two conversations. We think that it is important that the manager, the leader, and the employees, the teams, that they have a conversation of what they want to accomplish. And that is also changing in the meantime so fast that yearly goals or targets don't make sense anymore. That's the first thing. And then you have to continuously have a dialogue about how you're doing, where you need to adjust. And that is then meaningful to bring the overall organization forward and also the individual to then explore different things, opportunities, where to move next. But it's a fundamentally different approach.
Yeah, it really is. You are trusting your leadership to have meaningful dialogue and meaningful conversations with people rather than putting them into a mathematical framework. And that's more human in many respects. But it's fascinating, and fascinating that it still works and the organization moves forward and achieves its goals in the same way. I think you definitely onto something. Definitely, I'd really love to know more. But the other thing I'd like to know more about is you talked about leadership. And what are you doing that's crazy in leadership?
Yeah, as you can see, we are quite radical in a few things. So when I think about the performance management bit, I was just talking about, for us, it was a movement disguised as a project, and it's currently being rolled out all across the world.
I like this idea of a movement disguised as a project.
That's right. Especially as we have a chapter on it in our book.
Yeah, so that was the one thing, and it's still ongoing because at the moment we're, for instance, implementing, it's interesting to say implementing when you get rid of processes, right, and of infrastructure tools. Nonetheless, there's so much, of course, to take care of, like the regulations with the workers' council representations and so on, then all have to fit the legal things you have to look into. I don't want to go into detail, but all of that, of course, we have to manage at the same time. On the leadership topic, I don't know how it's for you, Simon. I would also love to learn from you how you do it at Novartis. But for Siemens, for several years, we were always seeking, what is it that makes a perfect leader? What are the behaviors, the traits of a leader that really bring success and performance? And we get rid of that completely because we say there is no perfect leader. Situationally, it can be very different what is needed in order to bring a certain topic or a function forward. But there are, of course, some cultural fundamentals that we all have to share, you know, like an enabling environment, like trust and collaboration, that we want to empower our people, that we want to foster a growth mindset across the company. But we do not then pinpoint it onto a leader as such as to what then he or she has to do. It is more that we say, what is our aspiration as a company, as a strategic priority, how we want to be as an organization, and then give space to the situational context and to the respective leaders.
Very interesting. We also are going through an experiment with our approach to leadership. We're several years now into that, around moving to becoming an unbossed leader. And we have what we call our unbossed leadership experience, which we've now had over 10,000 of our leaders go through to become more unbossed in their approach, and unbossed being a part of our culture of inspired, curious, and unbossed. On the program, it's a journey around sort of self-awareness. So rather than focusing on maybe some of the more traditional leadership principles, it actually looks into how we all behave and what's holding us back, looking at things like immunity to change, building on the work of Bob Keegan and Lisa Leahy at Harvard. Also looking at things like how we deal with complexity, covering things like, you know, how do we deal with failure, and being comfortable around talking about, you know, what we're not so good at or what hasn't worked. And we've seen some very positive impacts of that in terms of either impact in specific use cases or engagement of teams of leaders who have been through it as well. So it's a very different approach to maybe the more traditional, where a small number of leaders go on a sort of higher profile program. Actually, we took the view that we want to put as many of our leaders as possible through, so that they can all be building the capabilities to fulfill potential around leadership and support our people. So whole other conversation we could have there as well. So.
Yeah, I would love to learn about the examples of how people experience then to be unbossed. Pretty interesting.
We'll have a follow-up conversation on that one.
We should probably do a separate podcast on it.
We should. Well, there are people who can talk far better than I on that, so we'll have to invite one of them.
Daniela, let's come back to curiosity specifically for a minute. Can we ask, what does curiosity mean for you, and what role do you see curiosity playing within learning, but also more broadly within the organization?
So I think for me, it just comes naturally. And I think to hopefully all of us, that it is something we are born with, the interest in new things, the willingness to learn. So for me, it's a very positive term, and it's something that we want to spark. And when I think about my growth, the concept that we are developing, it's not called curiosity, but its intent is exactly to spark curiosity and creativity and ownership, that people take on their own learning, their own development, and also their own innovation power, if you will, because curiosity and creativity bring ideas that then lead to solutions to create something that this world needs. That's how I see it. For me, it's all connected. And I find it very interesting that you put so much emphasis on the curiosity part of it. Made me think a lot when I discussed it once with Simon, whether we should also put more emphasis on it. And I think we will. We now weave it into the messages, still kind of amplifying the idea of my growth.
Fantastic.
You know, we could talk for hours on this topic. It's fascinating to see what you're doing. It really is. But as we start to wind up our conversation, I really want to ask you, what are you personally most curious about?
So I have not shared it a lot in the beginning, but I'm truly passionate about sustainability. It has been quite a part of my career journey to engage rather early in the topic of sustainability and sustainable development. And I am still very passionate about innovation and technologies that contribute to sustainable development of societies. Has any one of you heard about the Planetary Boundaries movie or book from Johan Rockström?
Tell us more.
Yeah, tell us more.
So he's a scientist, one of the leading scientists in the area of sustainability, particularly focusing on the environmental dimension of sustainability. And he has developed already years back a concept that is bringing together systems thinking, basically looking at our beautiful planet and saying, what are the most relevant systems that are all interconnected, that have to work in balance so that the planet can thrive and live and further develop? We are all talking about climate a lot, which is one of the dimensions of it, and it's super important. And if, for instance, something happens on the 2-degree target of environmental warming, then you will see that it has huge impact on biodiversity, on ocean level rise, on deforestation, and so on and so forth. And this whole concept is about those major systems that are all interconnected, but that have to live in balance. And I'm super interested in that one, because I think it's probably the biggest challenge that we all have to work on jointly to keep this planet as beautiful as it is for the next generations to come.
I think it's something that we all have to be curious about.
Right. Right? And thank you for that reference, because I'm going to look into him and find out what's going on.
Planetary boundaries, definitely one to be curious about. So, Daniela, is there anything you'd like to ask us as well? I'll give you the opportunity to turn the tables on us to ask a question.
Yeah, what are you curious about?
So at the moment, many things, personally. I mean, the curiosity itself has been a curiosity for the last few years. Skills is one that I'm getting very curious about, and the role that skills plays at the sort of heart of learning and many other elements across HR or people in organisation. Also getting curious about virtual reality and the metaverse and the opportunities that could come from that as well. So that's one that's taking up some interest at the moment.
I think I'm really interested, as we've been having these conversations through Curious Advantage for 18 months now, and we're now at the point where we are going back to work in some kind of new normal way. And I'm really curious about what that's going to look like. I'm finally now being asked to meet face-to-face with people, which is kind of weird. So I'm really curious about how that's going to feel and how we are now going to start to work and how that's going to change, particularly in the next few months to year. So I think there's going to be big changes.
And I'm interested in... I mean, there's so many things I'm interested in. I'm reading a fantastic book at the moment about quantum mechanics and what that the quantum universe and how that has an impact, especially harmonics, how that harmonic and holistic approach has an impact on our lives and the people around us. And we can't take a linear perspective of life anymore because we are holistic beings. And I'm fascinated by that at the moment.
Very good. So we've covered a rich variety of different topics, from going back to your early career days of running restaurants and being an entrepreneur, and some of the lessons that we can take from that into the business world, through how Siemens connects the physical and digital, and learning and understanding more around the different areas that Siemens plays. A bit around what your people enablement and growth includes, and how working to own career journeys, and how you were asked to reimagine learning and development at Siemens, and the conversation around careers no longer being linear, and how we support people and how we support them with that ecosystem and that enabling environment, how to create that continuous learning habit, and how hard that is. I loved how you talked about inspiring and igniting a passion for learning and creating the experiences that people want to be a part of. Then your current approach with three pillars and my growth, and I really liked how you talked about the intent to spark curiosity and creativity, and also to create that innovation power. And then we heard the three pillars of my growth, so around the tools or instruments to navigate one's own learning, understanding who I am and what strengths I have and what takes energy. Second one around all the different universe of learning opportunities that are there with that personalized experience. And then third piece around my growth career and how to extend that network, how to explore things like job shadowing, really like the notion of job tagging and this sort of virtual coffees of being able to learn more and also sort of build a network as well. Then we dived into killing performance management and the notion of movement disguised as a project, which is one I'll have to remember. And then also the experiments around leadership as well, and the different approach that you bring there. And not least then a recommendation that we need to check out planetary boundaries and looking at what's going on our planet from a systems thinking perspective. So a rich conversation. But if you had to draw on one thing from that to leave our listeners with, Daniela, what would be your sort of one key point to leave people with?
Oh, that's not an easy one.
Oh no.
Well, there's one quote that comes to my mind that I really like. So it's not from me, and I don't remember who gave it, but it says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I think that is very powerful, to look at things from different perspectives and then be curious about different opinions, perspectives, and bring all of that into a solution space to create meaningful solutions, products, services that create a sustainable development for all of us.
I love that. And at the heart of that, I think, is curiosity. If you change the way you look at things, yeah, then the things you look at change. So fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Daniela.
Thank you, Daniela.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to a Curious Advantage podcast. We're curious to hear from you. If you think that there was something useful or valuable from this conversation, then we do encourage you to please write a review for the podcast on your preferred channel, saying why this was so and what you've learned from it. We always appreciate hearing our listeners' thoughts and having a curious conversation. So join us today at #CuriousAdvantage. The Curious Advantage book is available on Amazon worldwide. Order your copy now to further explore the 7 C's model for being more curious. Subscribe today and keep exploring curiously. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Curious Advantage podcast. The Curious Advantage book is now available to purchase on Amazon. Stay tuned for the next episode and keep exploring curiously. This podcast is produced by Aliki Palinelli and John McGinty and edited by Jill Damatak-Futter.